Okay, welcome to this podcast.
Hello.
This is the top 10 ways that David Bowie has changed our lives.
Yeah, this is life theming, and David Bowie has been the theme for our lives for January 23.
So we've been focusing a lot on that interesting, wonderful, complex, talented person and everything around him. I'm Joshua, by the way.
I'm Adam.
And yeah, this is our podcast. Lovely to have you here.
Kind of want to say it's 10 things that really, things that matter to us about the theme and how, well, what kind of legacy they've left on our lives, I guess, you know? Like you say, they've changed it in some way, left an imprint.
Yeah.
It's quite nice, isn't it? Each theme has its own little legacy.
Yes. And let's start sharing them. 5 each.
Mm.
If there's overlaps, I'll have to quickly do a rethink.
Oh yes, good point. I'm sure we can. Oh, and let's not forget, we are joined by Moogie, as always. She is
sat in a pair of shorts. She's our guinea pig.
She's not wearing a pair of shorts. She is, so the shorts are very big, so she fits down the leg of them.
They're human sized normal shorts. they're not especially big.
They're not guinea pig shorts.
You can't even buy guinea pig shorts.
Well, I think you can. You can buy guinea pig nappies, I've seen. Oh. So if you can buy a nappy, you can buy shorts.
She just flinched at that. I don't think she likes the idea of a nappy.
No, well, it means that she could just wee freely.
I've got a friend not naming any names.
That doesn't stop her.
I've got a friend not naming any names, and she's decided she wants an adult nappy so she can go to festivals and gigs and just not have to worry about it. She can just wee in her pants.
That I can imagine somehow as well. I can imagine her wearing a big pair of bloomers, baggy bloomers, soggy. No,
they'd get very heavy, wouldn't they?
Oh my goodness. Okay, maybe we should get off this subject and let's get back to Bowie.
Yeah, so let's do our scissors, paper, stone, Taiwanese style to work out who's going to go first.
E-san. And he's gone for the naked roll mat. Mole rat, but I've got the pesky Dachshund who chases the mole rat down the tunnel, so I win. So I'll go first. My first one. So I've got to say, my 5 things, except this first one, all involve a song, and
they're not necessarily
my favourite songs of David Bowie, but they are very significant songs of this month, and ones that, again, like I said, left some kind of imprint or legacy.
Yeah.
But this one does not have a song attached to it. So I actually want to say something about, I really learned from David Bowie. I thought he had a very interesting perspective on life and on the afterlife, spirituality, and I thought he had just a very interesting manner and an interesting perspective, and that came out in some of his interviews. So one in particular with Russell Harty, was a like awful, horrible twatty, I think, interviewer of the 1970s and 80s. He was just so
negative energy.
He was just so arrogant as well. So
he was like, "Oh, David, so apparently you said you're not a musician. So if you're not a musician, why are you coming back? What are you going to wear?"
Yeah, like just really stupid questions. And he's like, "Oh, are you broke? Are you coming back to do a concert because you're broke?
Or is it that you need the attention, David?"
Yeah, I was like, wow. And David Bowie gave him time of day. Like, he was such a gentleman to him. Always very polite and kind of took it tongue in cheek. Like, just took it on the chin, that's what I meant, not tongue-in-cheek, on the chin. I didn't know which part of the facial anatomy to go for. And I could tell from, because he's done 2 or 3 of them with me, and so he's obviously, there's something about Russell Harty he enjoyed. Maybe that was a good challenge for him. Anyway, you can watch his documentaries on a couple, sorry, you can watch his interviews on a couple of documentaries. Can I say the documentaries? Is that going to step on your toes?
No. The way you're looking at me, that's very scary. Yeah, of course you can say it. I step on my toes.
I'm just giving you the astute look. Like, can I do that?
Of course you can.
We watched a couple of documentaries, Moon Age Daydream, made about 3 or 4 years ago, and then The Man Who Changed the World, which was on Netflix. And I liked both the documentaries, and the Russell Harty interview appears on both. But yeah, great documentaries. And What I liked specifically about the interview was Russell Harty said, do you believe in God? And Burry very quickly said, I believe in an energy form. He said, I believe there's an energy. And I just thought that's an interesting answer, because I've always fixed a meaning to God as a male kind of, you know, kind of image or, you know, caricature or whatever. And I think that's now probably closer to the truth, that I understand it's more spiritual, more of an energy form.
And then Russell Harty, I can do this next bit.
You can,
he
yeah.
He says something like, and okay, so with this, your conception of God, do you worship it?
Oh yeah, well, how do you worship?
How do you worship?
Do you go to church?
Do you go to church?
And he said, I just live my life. And I just thought, yeah, that's really profound, but so true, that if we see God in everything around us, nature and people and activities and just the beauty of the world, and then if we love it and live it to the fullest, then that's worshipping the energy form. So, and there's many other things he said, but that was one that really stood out. So that's the first thing that's really
like
stuck
his wisdom, his perspectives.
Yeah, I think that's the first thing that stuck with me, that probably for the rest of my life I'll remember that. There you go, that's number one.
Nice. Right, so what sparked that off for me? Okay, this is my next one. Now, I've had a journey with how much I've liked David Bowie for this month. At first, when I started to realise and hear the stories about how much he was driven when he was, well, particularly younger, and how he kind of seemed to use people a bit and to get what he wanted, and everyone was part of the David Bowie show, I thought, oh, he was like a narcissist, total narcissist, seemed like a really nasty person. And then my understanding of him through those documentaries and through the just through what I heard and learnt about him and what I appreciated about him is that, yes, he was a narcissist, but he used it for a really positive force. So that's my legacy in terms of David is one of my top ones. Is that he had a healthy narcissism, and it's okay to have a healthy narcissism, because his narcissism drove him to be true to his vision and drive himself forward to make an impact on the world, and also true to the fact that he was confident enough to be whoever he wanted to be. So I feel like that inspired millions or thousands, maybe millions
of
people to be themselves and to let their light shine. So a healthy narcissism, that's one of my things about Bowie.
I've never heard of healthy narcissism. That seems like a contradiction in terms.
No, it is a thing.
Oh.
Yeah. In fact, we're all on the narcissistic spectrum.
Mm. So we could be healthy or average or unhealthy.
Yeah. I mean, I know that I definitely recognise narcissism in myself. So I feel, and I've also experienced very extreme narcissism in some of the people that I've interacted with in my life, and so I feel a bit uncomfortable about
naming no names. Was she wearing a nappy in a festival?
I don't know.
Just a joke.
But so I feel a bit uncomfortable about the topic, but very fascinated about the topic. But I think David is a good example of someone who is perhaps not the healthiest person, especially in the 70s. But certainly seemed to grow as he got older and had a healthy level of narcissism.
I don't think a narcissist could wear a nappy in a festival, could they?
Well, if we're all on the personality spectrum of narcissism on some level, then maybe a faint narcissist could wear one, or like a beige narcissist could wear a nappy.
But, oh, I see.
A lukewarm narcissist could wear a nappy, maybe.
I think anybody who wore an adult nappy to a festival wouldn't have a shred of narcissism to them.
But we all have a shred of it.
Well, I don't have any.
Oh!
Self-awareness!
Says Mr. No, let's not do that.
I wonder where you were going there.
You do enjoy your workouts every day, don't you?
Oh, you know, that's to keep health. I think it's good to be healthy. Don't show anyone. There's no one to show. Just all the mountains and sheep. Ah, it's for the sheep. All right, moving on swiftly to number three. You can take the lead for this one.
Okay, so this is a musical one, and it's a very broad one, but I've noticed, and it's just the riffs he chooses. I'm not a musical buff, so I don't know if riffs is the right word, but so many of his songs have a sound in them that even if it's not a great song, the sound just kind of hooks you and you're like, oh, I love that sound. So all this, so many I could mention. Drive Crash, Always Crashing in the Same Car. Got this boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom,
and then
Ashes to Ashes, surely.
Ashes to Ashes, Heroes.
Oh yeah, Rebel Rebels.
Yes is in.
Let's Dance.
Miracle Good Night. And sometimes I can't even emulate them. Like if I was to say, well, what is it about Miracle Good Night that it's got a good hook? I can't remember quite how it goes, but I know when I hear it, it's like, ah, that's a great song.
What about
song.
The chant of the Skeletal Army?
Yeah,
that's the hooks in the wrong kind of way. That hooks you like a night, like one, like a, what do you call it with a fish?
Like a fish hook. A
hook to a fish.
And I think they got better as later in his career. I think when I think about Ziggy Stardust, there was a few alright hooks. But it was more like just guitar, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Whereas as he got into the 80s and 90s and noughties, his little riffs got really good. So that's my legacy, is how important a riff is to a piece of music. It can take a mundane song and make it into something you actually really enjoy.
Nice. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Thanks.
Someone said in the documentary that David Bowie doesn't do love songs. I know that's a little bit of a tangent off your riffs, but they are very, and we said about the guitar, and his songs are really powerful and go-y and hooky. It hasn't actually done many ballads, has he? Many slow love songs, when you think about it.
No, Oh You Pretty Star.
I wouldn't say Oh You Pretty Things is a
No, Are song. You Prettiest Star, The Prettiest Star.
Not really. It's still a bit guitar-led. I mean, there is one song, but I'm not going to say it, because I think there is, but, you know, I don't want to say anything. I might say it a little bit later.
So now we're on to four, so it's your turn.
So I just thought that was an interesting observation, because most singers, especially that big, would have both dance numbers and
Song. That's a link to something I'm going to talk about in a bit as well.
I am going to go next with friendship. So how David Bowie has enhanced some of my friendships. And I think you've had this with your family and dancing with your dad and... So I didn't know if you were going to have that. And I haven't had that with my family, though everybody I met in this month, I did bring it up and say, oh, what's your favourite Bowie song? Or what's your... Oh, I remembered who liked Crashing in the Same Car.
Who?
It was... Yeah, she's just biting at the moment. I know, she just nipped me as well.
Yeah, the reason I went, oh, is because Moogie bit me.
Moogie's just not in the mood to being stroked. When I went out with Miss Darling in Brighton and we had a few drinks in the pub, I got to chat to some random people. So I didn't actually know them. But it was one of them that said it. And then, so it wasn't someone I knew. And she said...
Oh, because I never told you about this yet. You had zigzags on your head.
I wore the wig and we painted zigzags on our head. And we went out dancing in three different pubs.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was really good fun. She's always up for a laugh, always up for the theme. I don't know what she's going to do about India when she comes to Orkney. But just revealed. But I'm sure I should tell her. She might bring a sari or something. Anyway, back to number four, and friendships. And I think my friendship that has been enhanced the most is actually Dee, who's, the partner of a friend, but he is a friend in his own right. I don't get to spend much time
Wonderful
with him.
Wonderful Dee.
Don't get to spend much time with him. When I do, it's always lovely. We dance a little bit virtually. We do things in groups. And this was a chance for he and I to actually talk at some length about Bowie, because he, as a musician, he had his own... opinion and his own relationship, some of the songs, and I learned quite a few things from him, but especially with Lady Grinning Soul, which is a song on
on the one
it's what, after Lady Stardust, isn't it? It's not,
it is after Lady Stardust,
is it? One of the Berlin
is on
ones?
Ziggy one. No,
if it's not Ziggy, then is it it's Aladdin Sane?
Yes, that's it. I knew there was one after Ziggy.
It is Aladdin Sane, that's it. Yeah, yeah, it is that. Anyway, sorry. So, and he was talking about... Oh, I've forgotten the name. I've got it written down here. The
Mickey Rourke.
No, Mike Garson, the pianist who played the piano for many of Bowie's songs, including Lady Grinning Soul, which many of you might wouldn't know, because it's an album track off Aladdin Sane, But it's got the most amazing piano intro, and it goes all the way through, and it's a bit like a Bond song actually. And Dee's a pianist himself, so I was interested to hear him talk about that. He didn't want to play it because it's quite challenging, but he did play a lot of other Bowie songs.
He's done our podcast. You can hear Dee on our podcast jingle.
Yeah, he and his wife Victoria help us do the jingle at the beginning and the end. So there's Dee. So amongst other conversations, it heightened my friendship with him and my love for Bowie even more.
Nice.
By learning that.
I love that. And even though that's not one of my top 10 things, I've also had that experience of some lovely connections with friends, learning about their favourite Bowie songs, what it means to them. Mm. You know, Rebel Rebel helped them feel that and other aspects of Bowie helped them feel it was okay to be different.
Yeah.
Right, well, I'm enjoying this. My next one is another musical one, and it's so I was going to reveal two songs in this top 10, but we haven't actually revealed to each other our favourite Bowie songs yet, and that's quite important. So what I've changed these categories for is two different aspects of the kind of songs I like of Bowie. So in terms of my next legacy, isn't it your turn next?
I said number four. Yes, it is my turn next. So, good point, because we do two in a row, don't we?
Definitely.
Pass the baton back. So, I'll do number five, and I'm going to say the fun kind of synchronicities, which are always a bit of a bonus in the month. Bowie synchronicities, there was probably a few, actually, but the two that stand out the most, which is just quite fun, is I listen to Popmaster. It's kind of Pretty Things and Popmaster, so I call it Pretty Popmaster. And I was listening to Popmaster, as I do every day, right at the beginning of the month. I had our friends Claire and Philip, and we just listened to it. And then Ken Bruce said, so do you want your bonus to be, you know, this or David Bowie? Mm. I thought, no way. I love them. And he chose David Bowie.
Yeah.
And at that point, I didn't know Gene Genie, so I couldn't get the answer. But I did know the other ones. And Oh You Pretty Things came on when we were driving together.
Oh, yeah.
Which was on the radio, and, you know, you could might say there's a big chance of it coming up, but really out of the millions of songs, or hundreds of thousands of songs that could have been played at that very moment listening to the radio, which wasn't very much in that day, Oh You Pretty Things came on. And it actually gave us the name of our Walkney, which we're creating around the Orkneys, walks around the Orkney.
Yeah.
We're calling it Oh You Pretty Things. So just a bit of fun universe. Lovely things, and stay with us. That's my number five.
So sum it up again. It's little
synchronicities.
Yeah, that feels like a legacy from Bowie.
It's a legacy because the name of our Walkney is called Are You Pretty Things.
Oh, I see.
So it will forever be called that, and now we'll always call South Wanneroo Hoxer area Are You Pretty Things.
Yeah, that is a legacy.
Then Popmaster, not so much. That was just synchronicity, but I wanted to say that because it was a lovely
nice
moment.
Memory, though. In memory stuck in your gullet.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm not sure it's in my gullet, but yes. It's
or your claw, stuck in your claw.
My crutch.
Something like that. Yeah. It's stuck somewhere. My next one is musical, but it's about... I'm going to put these two together because I have two in a row. Firstly, I'm going to say a legacy that David Bowie has left with me is songs that I knew of his that I formed a much deeper appreciation of. And I'm actually feeling quite emotional just talking about this. Because, say, for example, Ziggy Stardust. I knew that song, Ziggy Plays Guitar. And I always knew that that was a famous 70s song and Ziggy Stardust was a big thing. But I never really appreciated how important and different and unique that album was in terms of a whole story that it guides people through with 5 years and Starman and Rock and Roll Suicide and Ziggy Stardust. And it's a really catchy song. So when we were all singing it at our disco, by Bowie Disco, I really loved that. And then in the same way, Starman, absolutely. I know the song so well, but learning new things about it and how it has the same chord thing as Somewhere Over the Rain, Starman, which is perhaps partly why it's powerful, but also that Top of the Pops appearance. I learned more about that. That was very amazing to see a man hold, like putting his arm around another man, and
he pointed at the camera. Oh, and he said, "You on it when you ooh, 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 ooh on the radio or something." And apparently a lot of people at that moment just fell for Bowie, like under his spell or something.
And then songs like Ashes to Ashes, learning more about that.
The most ridiculous video
music
ever.
Video, Life on Mars, I love the video for that as well. So it's partly the videos that can help. Heroes, listening to it again with my dad and dancing along to it, and then but before that, all like reading up about it and learning that it was a, you know, it's not just the typical song I thought it was of, oh, we're heroes and aren't we great heroes. It's actually, it's quite a dark song, and it could be about the Berlin Wall, or it could be about 1984. And like you said, there's no easy love songs in his thing. So Sound and Vision, I already love Sound and Vision, but now I've got a deeper appreciation of that because it's of him, how pioneering it was at the time in his experimental Berlin time. Modern Love, that was his poppy time, but it's such a good pop song. And you know what I mean? So the thing is, deepening appreciation of songs I already knew.
Yeah, nice. Okay, what's number seven?
So my seven is New Discoveries. This is a legacy for me of David Bowie, is there's actually one song that's now in my top 150 songs of all time. And of course that changes regularly. But I never knew it.
Oh, what's your gin?
And I didn't think. I thought maybe some of, you know, Bowie's songs, I might hear some gems. But there's lots that are great. So I just want to rattle off a few different songs that I absolutely love from our discoveries of David Bowie. So we've got...
And it's one of these in your top 150?
Maybe not. I'll talk about a lot. So we've got Dollar Days from the Black Star album.
Yeah.
We've got Everyone Says Hi, which is another late album. Reality,
I think. Yeah.
Word on a Wing, which is fantastic. Yassa
Station
Zin.
To Station, I can think, yeah.
Skeletons... Of the
chant of the Skeleton Army. Dogs.
Never forget you playing that on the kazoo. Zeros, Rock and Roll Suicide, Miracle Goodnight, Seven, Crashing in the Same Car, Ricochet, Never Grow Old, Oxford Town, Signet Committee. There's so many songs. And Free Festival.
About Memory of a Free Festival?
I just want to talk about a moment where we had our Bowie disco that Denise suggested, and then of course we did a mini one, but it ended up being really good fun. And then just at the very end in the after party, when a lot of people left, we played this Memories of a Free Festival song, which is such an uplifting, life-affirming song, and it's a very strange song from the early 70s that hardly anyone would know, I think, unless you're a real Bowie fan.
I think it's 69. It's
69.
Not even because it's on his second album,
but
I think
it somehow, even though I wasn't there, of course, it somehow captures the 60s zeitgeist.
Do you know where it was, the Free Festival?
London?
Beckenham. He moved... I know, see, this is where you learn a lot, and I actually had this chat with Babs, because we were like, oh, he's from Brixton, and she was like, yes, but he went to Beckenham, and I'm like, well, he went to Bromley, and he did, he moved at the age of six from Brixton, it's all the B's, from Brixton to Bromley, but then he went to college during his formative years, he was in Beckenham, and that's when he decided to make a free festival in Beckenham Park, and he was like a pioneer for the suburbs in Bromley and Beckenham, so he would...
Creative art stuff.
Like amazing stuff that was happening in the city, but he brought it to the suburbs and it was packed. Like it was so crazy busy and popular. So he kind of came from the... Even though he came from Brixton, which isn't the suburbs, he went out to there and it didn't kill him. The suburbs kind of... He used them.
Oh, wonderful.
Propelled him,
that's very him, isn't it?
That's very him.
Alchemist.
But he created a free festival, which obviously doesn't exist anymore. So there was something... Even when he wrote that... It was like knowing that what he had created was not sustainable. It wouldn't happen in the future.
But the refrain, the sun machine is coming down and we're gonna have a party. I just find it such an uplifting image. And that was one of my best moments of the month, of dancing to that song. It was so much fun.
Well, I can segue nicely to number eight because it is from our... virtual disco, which is quite a nice thing to do every now and then, not every month, But when there's a theme that lends itself to good music, it's quite nice to have a good old dance, isn't it?
Yeah.
We did it with Fish as well last May, but we didn't do it as a disco. But I remember having a really good night just dancing to all the Fish songs. So whether we do it with anyone who wants to join us or we just do it ourselves, it's good to dance through the songs. We did the virtual Bowie disco with lots of requests, a lot of the big hits. We did a couple of minor ones with some of your family, a couple of friends. It was a lovely evening. My moment, which isn't my moment of the month, and this isn't necessarily my best Bowie song, but the moment really stood out for me is transcendental. It took me to a very kind of, I think back, and I was totally lost in the music. I had it in Breakfast with the Associates, the Breakfast song, which was my lockdown song, and I went to a...
Is that How Do You Like It?
No.
In the morning.
No, it's not that one. That's like James Stewart or someone like that, or Bing Crosby, or, you know. No. The Associates is a modern band, like 80s band, but I remember this song really took me to a different place, and it left something with me. And that's what happened on my own dancing at the Virtual Disco, you were in the other room, and it was to Moon Age Daydream. And I totally got into it. I got a very interesting journey with this song because I first heard it in the background of a virtual disco that you go to with, you know, your
social distance
dance party, and you do it every month or so. And I remember in the background, I could hear this song and I thought, well, that's quite good, that's quite catchy. And I was getting to you and saying, what is that song? And eventually you got it to me and said, it's Moon Age Daydream. And so I put it on my playlist in December, and then it was on there. And then I remember having a moment with it in Kirkwall, which is the capital of Orkney, and thinking, oh, that's good. And then that propelled me to pick Bowie.
What? So we wouldn't be having this conversation if it wasn't for you hearing it at Social Distance Dance Party?
No, because it was a kind of synchronicity of Moon Age Daydream. And then the documentary Moon Age Daydream was coming to the local cinema. It was like one film every 2 weeks. And because I'd already had the song, and I was always fascinated by Bowie, and I think I thought that our last person's theme was Grace Jones. And I always thought, if we're going to have another person, I think it's got to be Bowie. And I wanted it to be a man, because we've had three women before. So I kind of knew David Bowie was waiting in the wings. And then knowing it was coming to Orkney on the cinema, and I thought, well, if I'm going to watch that, let's do a whole theme around him. But the song supported that, really. It all came together. So, but I had such an amazing moment where I just got completely lost in there, and I was doing air guitars, and I was floating around, and it's such a great song. It just has, it's the guitar, and it's on Ziggy Stardust.
Oh, I wish I'd been in the room with you. So you were literally floating?
I wasn't literally floating. I was metaphorically floating, or I was spiritually floating.
Nice.
But very powerful moment. So that's legacy of that song and that moment right there and then for number nine. What's
wonderful.
Number 10?
Who'd have thought it?
No, is that my number 7?
You've said your 8, now you do your 9. Your
last I was going to say, because I've got one more. Yeah, I was going to get... Okay, my number 9 is Nostalgia. So it's how David Bowie, from my childhood, has actually met me in the present and still leaving a legacy in my future. And that's through Labyrinth.
And
Labyrinth was in my top 100 films, really important film for me. I think he's brilliant in it, whether dark or not. I know you said it's got dark undertones in the movie. I think it's well-crafted and it's very watchable, and he's quite an anti-hero, really. There's something likeable about him, but obviously something wrong about him. And I love that kind of childhood memory of the film, and I still watch it and all the puppets and still enjoy that. And then the music in it, there is a love song he's done. See, I was thinking, what love song has David Bowie done?
Underground.
No, Underground is a rocky one at the beginning. It's called As the World Falls Down.
Right.
And he's dancing with...
Jennifer Garner.
What's her character name? Sarah, is it?
Sarah.
Something like that. They're dancing in a ball, and it's definitely a love song. And he's all very ballady and all that. And it's really one of my top songs. I love it. But also another song, quickly, that stands out from it, which has got a legacy in Newcastle, is Chilly Down, because there's a road called Chillingham Road. And I always will remember walking down Chillingham Road listening to Chilli Down from Labyrinth and thinking about all the Chilli people getting hot with chilli or something. I don't know.
They're yeah. ones that lift their heads off and stuff.
Yeah, they throw down. Yeah. It's great. So, Labyrinth, great film, great music, lots of nostalgia. That's my legacy. Number 10, over to you.
Well, it goes quite nicely leading on from the second to last thing you said, which is about the love song. Because my last thing that's a legacy for David is how inspiring I found it that he was so true to his art over the idea of fame or success or anything. And you could really see that he had that phase in this 80s where he knew how to do it. He knew how to write pop songs that would fill out stadiums and stuff. And he wasn't satisfied. He's like, no, I don't like that. I need to keep going. And his later albums from the mid 80s to the, you know, when he died, were never, apart from Black Star, because he died, it was big. They were never that big.
One of them got to number two. The last day, the next day,
did it?
Got to number two. Yeah, oh, right. In 2013.
Well, anyway, but they're not that well known.
But no, in America, it didn't. Like, it wasn't the same level of success he had.
But when you hear him and you talk to him, you hear him do interviews and stuff, you realise that for him, it wasn't about the fame. It wasn't about the money. It was about pioneering his art, his vision, and putting that out into the world and harnessing the talents of the people around him as well, but in a really positive way. And I just love it. I love that message, is that every one of us is an artist in our own way, even though we might not necessarily realize it. And to live a fulfilled, successful, happy life, we need to tap into what our vision is, tap into what our particular way of expressing art is. And he had lots of different forms, didn't he? Acting and music.
Painting, sculpting.
And so I think that's a really wonderful, inspiring legacy from him. And he seemed, I'm really happy to state, in Moon Age Daydream, you know, he seemed like he got to a very positive place in the end of his life, where he was creatively fulfilled, and so good on him.
Well, did you see the other documentary, The Man Who Changed the World, what they said at the very end, how it was all orchestrated?
Like, the album.
The whole ending of
Black Star,
and how he released that. And I think there was a song, I can't remember what the song, it wasn't Black Star, but I don't know if it was Lazarus or, It was like performance art, and his death was part of the performance of Black Star. It's really amazing.
Some people think he was not actually dead.
Well, you know, conspiracy. So
there's this interview out there of someone straight after he died who looks just like him, who is reminiscing. And
he's got to die at some point.
Of course, I'm not saying he's alive. I'm just saying some people say.
Yeah.
Interesting to consider. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Well, I don't really go down that train of thought. I mean, it's actually more poignant that he's died than thinking, oh, he's still alive.
So, really. It's been a successful month, and I think he has changed our lives. It's certainly changed mine, and I've been delighted to spend a month focusing on him, but I'm also looking forward to knowing that the next theme is going to change our lives as well. Next month, we'll be talking about our 10 ways that, do you want to say?
Well, I said it earlier, I dropped it in.
Oh yeah, India.
India, yeah.
India will change our life. So it'll be February, February.
We've never been, have we? So we can't speak from experience, but we will learn a lot about the country and the culture and the foods and the
people. I mean, it's so influential in so many ways we have got experience of India, even if we haven't set a foot
on it. Well, we never met David Bowie and could do a theme on it, so you don't have to directly do these things.
It's going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. And if anyone's listening to this, then we look forward to you connecting with us next month.
Yeah, we hope... whatever you're doing, if you're still theming or just listening along, or that you're enjoying each month, and stay connected if you can, and we'll hopefully see you in a month's time.
All right, love you, bye.
Lots of love. Bye. Bye. Bye.